give her those words of pearls that I had a picture of earlier on to spread over everyone, and that we all take away a little pearl of something that Kerry speaks about tonight, today. And Lord, we just ask for your, just love and blessings to flow through her and onto all of us now. Amen.
Thank you, Sarah. It's so fab having you up here at the front. Good morning, everybody. Good to have you. Good to have Edge in with us. Now, if you're part of Edge, there's chocolate to come. So you're in the best place. You can all think about that. Right. Okay. So people of God, here we are. And this week we are in Samuel, which is a continuation of last week's story, Hannah. So Hannah was the woman who prayed. If you remember, she couldn't have any children. But as a result of those heartfelt prayers that she poured out to God, she had a son called Samuel. And that Samuel is this Samuel from this week, the man who heard God. Actually, he was a child who heard God, I think, when he first heard God. So where we are at in history is we are about 1,100 years before the birth of Jesus. So quite a long way back. And if you read around those scriptures, what we're told is that in those days, the word of the Lord was rare. And there weren't many visions. So the voice of God was not being heard by people. And although Israel has made it out of the wilderness, they're in their promised land, the nation really isn't stable. It's not God-honoring. We're told that all the people did whatever seemed right in their own eyes. And that doesn't sound to me dissimilar from where we are today, does it really? And we're also told in the stories in Samuel, in the temple, which is a place where God was for the people, the priests who are meant to be the ones who are hearing God, they are not behaving very well. Eli is the priest in charge of the temple, and we're told his sons, and this is a bit critical, are worthless men who do not know the Lord, nor the way that the priests should act. Basically, they're behaving really dishonorably towards the temple and the people and God. And tragically, Eli isn't doing much about it. So that's the backdrop, and things are in a bad way. But you know, God wants to talk to his people. He wants to give them hope and encouragement. He wants to guide them. He wants to tell them how much he loves them and cares for them. But he can't because no one's listening. So God begins to work to solve the problem. And we see the Lord breaking in and solving this problem. So Samuel, who now is living with Eli and working in the temple, we read that he is continuing to grow in stature and in favor with the Lord and with people. And as we go on and we read Samuel's story, and we see him listening to God, and we see God's determination to talk to his people through Samuel. And as Samuel's life goes on, he in fact becomes the one who brings the word of the Lord back to the people. And because of that, if you go on and read, he becomes the person who God uses to establish the monarchy in Israel, as we see him anointing first Saul and then David as Israel's king. So that's a really big deal. Samuel was quite a character, which is why we're looking at him. So here's a bit of fun for you to have a little bit of an insight into the story of Samuel if you didn't manage to read it.
Stories of the Bible. God speaks to Samuel. This is Samuel.
Hi.
Samuel was the son of Hannah.
Hey, Samuel.
Hannah prayed for God to give her a son, and God did. So Hannah gave Samuel back to God.
See you, Samuel.
Bye, Mom.
And Samuel grew up in the temple serving under Eli, the priest.
Hi, Eli.
As Samuel grew up, he learned how to serve God from Eli. Samuel lived in the house of God, but he did not know God or what God's voice sounded like. In those days, messages from God were rare. But one night after Eli had gone to bed, Samuel was sleeping in the tabernacle when suddenly God called out, "Samuel!"
Huh?
Samuel got up and ran to Eli and said, "Did you call me?"
"Not me."
Eli said, "I didn't call you. Go back to bed." So Samuel did. Then God called out again, "Samuel!"
Huh?
And again Samuel got up and ran to Eli asking, "Did you call me?"
"Not me."
Eli said, "I didn't call you. Go back to bed." So Samuel did. God called Samuel for a third time, "Samuel!"
Huh?
And Samuel went to Eli yet again. After three times, Eli realized that God was trying to speak to Samuel. So Eli taught Samuel to say, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening."
Okay.
Samuel went back to bed, and God came and called as before, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, your servant is listening." God told him many things about what would happen to Israel. As Samuel grew up, God was with him, and everything God spoke through Samuel came true. Samuel was seen as a great prophet of God because he could hear the voice of God, and he listened when God spoke to him.
So there you go. For those of you who've ever been in Sunday school, you'll probably remember that story, cute story of Samuel hearing from God. But you know, that story is in the Bible for a reason. And as we look at the broad sweep of the story of the Bible, what is it telling us in broad terms? In a time where we're told the word from the Lord is rare, God wants to speak. He wants to speak to his people. He wants to break into silence. He wants to break into confusion. And he wants to bring people back into relationship with him. And what he does is he looks for someone whose heart is open to him. And he begins to speak. And he doesn't just speak once, and when Samuel doesn't get it, he gives up. He keeps on speaking until Samuel recognizes his voice and begins to listen deeper to what he wants to say. So there's a key verse that we're going to look at today. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And what I want to do is I want to pull out those three words that are in bold: speak, servant, and listening. And I want us to just have a look at what that means for us here and now today out of this cute Bible story that we've just seen. So let's take the first one. Let's take speak. And do you know what I find fascinating about Samuel? The fact that he was living and working in the temple, and yet he hadn't heard God's voice. The temple was a place where God was, and Samuel hadn't heard God yet. And I don't know if you picked up in the video, it said, Samuel lived in the house of God, but he did not know God or what God's voice sounded like. And that really stuck out to me. And I thought, you know, Lord, just save me from being somebody who trots along on a Sunday or does my small group, but never hears your voice personally for me. And, you know, all through the Bible, there are examples of God speaking to his people. And the word of God is mentioned 400 times, I'm told, in the Old Testament. And Jesus says this: whoever is of God hears the words of God. So if we are of God and we are of God, we hear the voice of God. It's not a question and it's not qualified. We hear the voice, the word of God. And see Sarah, I can't do it either. I need to go back one, no, and forward one. And again, my sheep hear my voice and I know them. And they follow me. Again, it's not qualified. My sheep hear my voice. My sheep hear my voice. We are wired, created, intended to hear the voice of God. So how does God speak to us today? in that story of Samuel, there was an audible voice. And I wanted to ask, has anybody here today, can you say that you've ever heard the audible voice of God? Yeah, we've got some. Got some people have heard the audible voice of God. Yeah. And you can see that that is something which is not something that everybody all the time experiences. We'd all have our hands up. For sure, God can speak like that to any one of us. But it's not the most common way that God speaks to us. So how else does God speak, I wonder? Now, we talk about things speaking to us, don't we? We can look at a painting and say, oh, that painting really spoke to us. Well, that painting didn't jump up and speak to us, did it? That would be a bit weird. What we're meaning is our hearts, our souls are sort of moved by it. That thing has acted as a catalyst, hasn't it? And it's brought things up in us, made us think things that we probably haven't done before. And in the same way, I think, when we say God spoke to us, we mean actually He stirred things in us. He stirred thoughts and brought things to our attention that we wouldn't ordinarily have done. And we're very quick to say, oh, God spoke to me. Oh, I asked God and he spoke to me. And that can be really confusing for people, can't it? Because it's not always that audible voice of God. It's other ways. So what other ways, just chuck out some ideas, have you ever heard or could one hear God speak if it wasn't audibly? Pictures, explain that.
Not a painting on the wall. No, as in, when you're praying for people or when I'm in soaking mode, I tend to get pictures. So it's the way of God telling me to say something to somebody, and a lot of the time I don't understand what I'm saying. And that's usually when I know it's God as well. Yeah.
Yeah, so pictures. So something comes into your mind, your imagination. It's like a picture of something going on in your head, and you know it's for that person. Yeah, anything else? There's another hand. John. Events. Okay, elaborate that for me.
You're in a difficult situation, and you just feel that what's happening isn't just a coincidence. It's part of God's love, and it's his very... it's his presence, really, in that situation.
So you feel something in the inside in that situation. Yeah, you get a kind of feeling. There was another hand. Where don't you?
Prophecy. When someone gives you a prophecy, or someone might give a prophecy over the congregation or something.
Yeah, absolutely. Prophecy and prophetic words. Part of Sarah's picture this morning was part of that. She talked to me about seeing pearls landing in people. So, yeah. Laura.
So, yeah, God spoke to me through movies, like situations in movies have really touched my heart, and God's spoken to me through those.
Cool. Go watch telly.
Many years ago when I was still in the Navy, and I just recovered from having my leg smashed up, but they did a marvellous job and put me back together again. It took them about a year. And I was communicating with OMF, and they got the medical report from the hospital. And we've just had your medical report. We can go no further. So I wrote to them and said, what does this mean? Normally when you say that, you mean, that's it, finish. Am I allowed to go as far as we've already got, or is it now over? And... I thought, wait a minute, that was a bit rude. So I was going to apologise, and I couldn't find my pen. So I said, Lord, why can't I find my pen? Are you going to say something to me? So I went to the window to see if he's going to say something. He just said four words. He said, patience, my dear son.
How did you hear those four words, Peter? Were they audible, or was it like an impression? Or
I don't know.
Okay, you just knew that you knew that you knew that God had spoken to you. Yeah. And sometimes we do, don't we? We just know that we know that we know. Joanna? Can you shout?
Yeah.
Yeah, so you have a verse that comes to you, yeah? Yeah, absolutely. And the Word of God, isn't it? I mean, that's a great one. You know, that's why we're reading it, guys. That's why we're doing People of God. Because not every day, I mean, it's our food, isn't it? We keep eating it. But every so often, something will just like jump out at you, won't it? And we've all had that. Whoa, gosh, well, I've read that a million times. But that just means something to me this morning. It's so important. So we've had all sorts of things, haven't we? We've had just knowing something sometimes. You just know that you know that you know. Thoughts that sort of drop in when you're not thinking about the same thing. Nudges. Do you know one of the greatest ways, biggest ways that God actually guides me is through peace? So if I'm going into something, I'll look for peace inside. Where am I feeling peace? Where am I feeling peace? Or not, as the case may be. you know, that just that kind of intuition sometimes that I think you feel and you don't know where it comes from. Many years ago, my Rachel is now 21, so this will be like 18 years ago. I had a wonderful, wonderful friend called Rachel Jameson who was younger than me. And my Rachel is named after her. And she died of breast cancer very young. And we knew she was toward the end of her life, and she had gone into hospital because she hadn't been particularly well for some reason. But her parents had said to me, she's coming out the next day. I said, oh, I'll go and visit her in hospital. And they said, no, it's fine. They're going to release her tomorrow to come home. And we knew that that was toward the end of her life. But they said, she's coming out tomorrow. Don't go all the way into Oxford. You've got two small children. Stay at home. She's coming home tomorrow evening. So it's absolutely fine. So I said, okay, that's fine. Went to bed, got up the next morning, and I just knew I had to go and visit her. I can't explain it. It didn't make any logical sense. She was coming home that evening. I got two little kids. I had to schlep into Oxford, find my way around this wretched, enormous hospital. It didn't make any sense, but I could not get away from this feeling. I just had to do it. So I put the kids in the car, went off, did it, visited her, spent a lovely hour with her, prayed with her. We were such good friends. It was really lovely. Came home, and I got a phone call later that evening to say she died before she was even released from hospital. That was the voice of God speaking to me. I just knew that I knew that I knew I had to do it something, even though it didn't make any sense. Dreams, visions. Now, she's not here this morning. Renu. Renu's somebody who hears the Lord through dreams a lot. She'll often come to me and say, I've had this dream. And well, we all dream. Sometimes we're just dreaming because there's something in our mind. But sometimes it is the voice of God to us. The body of Christ, prophetic words. That's why we all need to be exercising spiritual gifts and just doing our thing, sharing life over one another, because Holy Spirit is speaking through us to people. And our prayer place team, they've already been mentioned this morning. They're not there for problem people. Well, you can be there for problem people, but that's not why they're there. They're there to speak the word of God over every one of us, to pray for us, to stand with us, to release the prophetic word of God. So every one of us, you are welcome at any point during the meeting to go join those guys and let them do their thing. And you know, over time, as we learn to hear God speaking to us, we get to know the special and unique ways that we hear him best. You will hear him in a way more easily than, say, another person would do. And it's like my mum. You know, my mum rings me up. My mum doesn't say, hi, Kerry, it's mum. She doesn't say that anymore. She just goes, hi, Kerry. And I know that's mum. She doesn't have to explain who she is because I know her voice. And you will get that you know the voice of God to you. Tuesday, there were several things that I was needing to deal with that were quite big and troublesome, and I was getting in a bit of a 2-8 about them. And I was in my bedroom, looking out my bedroom window, and it's about that height, looking out the window, and there's a lilac tree outside, which is obviously not got any flowers or leaves or anything. It's just bare twigs, and it's literally right out there. If I opened the window, I could hold onto the branches. And there were some little sparrows jumping around in it, and they were as close as I could have touched them, and I was just standing there watching them like this. And all of a sudden I thought, oh yeah, Jesus said something about sparrows, didn't he? Went downstairs and got my Bible out and read the verse, and it said, God doesn't abandon or forget even the small sparrow he's made. How then could he forget or abandon you? And just in that moment, that's what I needed to hear. And it all came from looking out my bedroom window at a sparrow. So look how God can encourage us and wants to encourage us. And you know the thing that is so beautiful for you and I? This story of Samuel took place over 1,000 years before the birth of Jesus. God at that time was kind of on the outside of people, speaking to people from out there. You know, their relationship with him wasn't as personal as ours for one really good reason. Because Jesus came along and John, who wrote about Jesus, tells us that he was and is the Word of God. So Jesus was the embodiment of the Word of God. So when people looked at Jesus and they listened to what he was saying, they were seeing what God was like and hearing what God wanted to say to them. But there's more, isn't there? Because through Jesus' death and resurrection, the Holy Spirit, God's Spirit, who alone knows the depths of the heart and mind of God, that same Holy Spirit lives in you and lives in me. Corinthians tells us, do you not know that you're God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? So that God isn't out there trying to speak into you like Samuel. He is within you. And because God, by his Spirit, is within you, he can speak in so much more intimate and clear ways. Because he can speak deep into your heart because he is within you. So that's why I think so often that it sounds like us. I have a thought and I'm like, oh, was that me or was that God? Well, it's because it sounds like me, because the Holy Spirit is within me, so it's going to, isn't it, often? And I think we kind of miss that, you know, and we kind of second guess ourselves all the time. Oh, is that God? Oh, it wasn't a very wild voice. It couldn't have been God. But those nudges where we just think of things, Holy Spirit's in us. So we're going to just respond ourselves to those things. So just really encourage you to pay attention to those things. I love that. I think that's amazing. Look where we live in comparison to Samuel. Look where we live in comparison to Samuel. Incredible age that we live in. So we've just done speak. So let's do speak, Lord, your servant is listening. Now, I've chosen this picture. On Google Images, this was called a conversation between two friends. Because that's way more what the servant thing is about for us today. Yeah, we are God's servants. And the Bible calls us that. But the growing revelation throughout the story of the Bible through to Jesus is that we're more than servants to God. We're his children. He's our father. Good fathers talk to their children. It would be unheard of for Ben not to speak to Noah and Daisy. He's a good father. He wants to talk to his children. God wants to talk to us. We're his children. And we're also his friends. Jesus said, I don't call you servants any longer because a servant doesn't know his master's business. Instead, I've called you friends. For everything I've learned from my Father, I've made known to you. Friends talk to one another. Rachel is my friend. We talk to one another. We email one another. We WhatsApp one another. We text one another. We speak on the phone to one another. All the different ways that a friend can speak to one another in today's society. You have exactly the same thing. My husband even from time to time sends me an email when he wants me to remember something. We talk to one another in all sorts of different ways. We are friends. God says we are his friends. Jesus says we're his friends. So he's going to talk to you. And you know what? I think that the enemy of our souls works really hard to convince us that we're not good enough children or not close enough friends to hear God speak to us. And he does that because he knows that we can't fully and truly live spiritually without hearing the Word of God in our lives. Moses, all the way back in the Old Testament, said, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the voice, the mouth of God. Jesus repeats those same words as he's wrestling with the enemy before the start of his ministry. If the Son of God needed to live by the word of God and not just by bread, so do we. How can we live without the voice of God in all those different ways speaking to us? So the enemy sows doubts and lies and wrong perceptions into us so that we don't hear properly. Our receptors are just a bit off. Maybe you grew up with poor models of fathers. My father loved me, I know that. But he was distant, and honestly, he didn't really talk to me. So I can take that into my relationship with God, that he's distant and he doesn't really talk to me. It's not true. It is a lie. Maybe deep down, you actually believe that you're unworthy, that God wouldn't speak to you, that you don't deserve it, that you're not good enough, that you haven't earned it. That isn't true. Maybe you think you're not a mature enough Christian to hear the voice of God. That isn't true either. I was thinking about this. Babies in the womb hear the voice of their mother. They might not understand all the words, but they hear and they get that intimacy, don't they? That's what God wants for us to hear, even if we don't fully understand, to hear and get that intimacy. Maybe you think that you need permission somehow to come to God. And I shared a couple of weeks ago, I've discovered that lie rooted down in me. Where from, I don't know. But once I confronted that, there was way, way, way more freedom. But even if we're good with all of those things and we can go, no, I don't believe any of those things, we still need to listen. God wants us to open our heart to him and he wants us to listen. No matter how good things are or bad things are around us, God wants to talk to us and we can hear from him. At first, Samuel just hears God say his name. That's all he heard. But to hear more and to hear more deeply, Samuel had to listen. Now, listen, if you look that up in the dictionary, says to give one's attention to a sound. We listen to something, we give our attention to a sound. Now, we've talked about that at the river together, didn't I? Talked about attention. Do you remember? Quite liked that. I talked to you about the kind of light bulb moment that I had where I realized that even though people tell us that time is our most precious resource, actually in our relationship with God, our attention is our most precious resource. Because when we give attention to something, we become aware of it. And when we become aware of something, there's a connection there. So I've got a great little thingy here. If you give attention to something, that brings awareness and that brings connection. So if we give attention to God, we become aware of God and we become connected more deeply to God. The converse is true too, because our attention is stolen by being hurried and rushed and distracted, which is so much what our lives can be like. And so if we are hurrying and rushing and we get distracted, that leads us to disregard God, which leads to disconnection. So distraction, rushing, hurrying leads to disregarding God, and that leads to disconnection from him. And the importance for us of learning to live without hurry so that we have more attention for and therefore awareness of God is crucial. We really, really, guys, we need to have more attention, more awareness, and therefore more connection to God. So we need to slow down. Less hurry. Less distraction. And if you'll remember, if you were there at the river together, I was highlighting this book, The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry. And I so recommend that you read this year, if you're able to. Because for us, as the people of God, it is crucial that we develop our lives so that we have less hurry, less distraction, more connection moments during the day with God. It makes such a difference. So, in conclusion, God can speak to us. God wants to speak to us. God is persistent in speaking to us. We're his children and his friends, and he's given us his Holy Spirit. He has done a heap of things so that we can hear him speak. And all we need to do is listen. Is listen. We read in the readings this week, we read, the Lord continued to appear and gave messages to Samuel. The Lord was heard again in that place because of Samuel's relationship to him, a man who listened. And I just want to encourage us to be those people who stay in close relationship with God and listen to him, because he wants to speak to you, not just for yourself, but for your families, your workplaces, your friends, your community, maybe even your nation. And do you know what? As we do that and we're courageous enough to share what God says to us, we become people who bring the life of Jesus and his kingdom wherever we are. And that's who we are as the river people. So we're going to listen to God. How does that sound? My wonderful welcome team, I'm staying